Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Hello, live stream. I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you've tuned in. We've been speaking and teaching on trust and inspire versus command and control. So that's where our messages are identified with and connect with, is we want to trust God in these days we're living in. And we can. And we can trust each other when we trust God. So trust is a big deal. Boy, I tell you, I really was sad, but I saw about what happened with President Trump. And it was, just really kind of got to me. You know, it's just a sign of the times we're in. Remember, we're in perilous times, right? And, you know, that's dangerous and violent. That's the times we're in. And, you know, we're supposed to be standing in those times. And so that's a good depiction of what's going on in our world. And I tell you, I really was intrigued by what I was watching the news this morning. Then I flipped on the news, or actually Donita flipped it on real quick so we could see if there's anything. And this doctor was talking on there about, you know, what he was going through, what President Trump went through by being shot like that, you know, grazed with his ear. And person asked, would he have any post-traumatic syndrome from that traumatic situation that took place? The doctor knew what he was talking about when he talked about the brain. He said, no. He says, your brain works out of fear or courage. And he said, President Trump was exercising courage because when he stood up, he held his fist up and he was saying, fight. And you know, when he said that, it's like, that went right through me. That's really what we're fighting for. Not so much, but for our kids and for the faith. You see, we are in a good fight, but we have to fight for it. You know, you and I are going to have to fight for our children and our grandchildren. And folks, we're going to go through things. But what he said was that Trump was operating out of courage and not fear. And so he wouldn't have any post-traumatic syndrome. And you know, that's a good depiction of the fear of God. The fear of God really is you don't have fear out there. You fear God. And that's a healthy fear. That's a reverential fear. Your fear is, I don't want to get out from under his will and under his care. You see, when you really fear God, you're not going to fall out of the faith. You're going to run to the faith. You're not going to fall out of faith because you fear God. See, that's our problem in our country today, in the world today. There's not enough fear of God. When you fear God, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. When you fear God, you're going to be satisfied in life. You see, but it only comes from God and his church. The church is designed for your development. You come here and it's going to be development. There's going to be development that takes place in you. People will walk away from the faith because they're walking away from development. See that? And when you walk away from your development, now you can't be what God was calling you to be for your children and your grandchildren. You hearing what I'm saying? Now listen to me. He says in Deuteronomy 30:19, he says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Your choices, every choice you make, has eternal and generational implications. Did you hear me? Every choice you make has eternal and generational implications. In other words, the choices you make affect who, the people that matter the most to you. You better get me out of here. And that's it. Now look what happens. He says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You're either passing a blessing on to them, because you, when you are in the fight, you are passing a blessing on to them. You see that? Fight the good fight of faith. Just because it's a fight doesn't mean it's wrong. It's true and genuine and healthy. Now listen. But when you don't fight and you walk away because you're just tired of it all and you want to go do what you want to do, and you see, people will not come to this church because they think we're radical. We're not radical. We're just being the church. I like what I see in this church. Everything's in here. I like it. We got people who graduated from Harvard coming to this church. We got people who don't have two sticks to rub together. I love it. We got everything up in this church. This is the church. You see this? And we all need help. You see that? And God has designed the church to bring health and wholeness so we can carry the faith from generation to generation. Now listen to me. So think about it. You pass on blessing or cursing? You pass on blessing or burdens? Burdens. Many of you have burdens in your life because your parents failed to fight for what they should have been fighting for. Are you paying attention to me? Many of you are burdened in life because your parents didn't want to pay the price to fight the good fight of faith. But when you fight the good fight of faith, your children aren't going to be as burdened. Am I making sense to you? In the middle of all kinds of chaos and what have you, when you understand what I'm saying, you'll get in the fight. You know, the fear of God. See, when you have the fear of God, it leads to life. And those who have it will abide in satisfaction. You're going to be satisfied. You see that? When you have the fear of God. When you don't have the fear of God, it doesn't mean anything to you. Well, I'll just go to this church. You better know where you're going. You better make sure that they're bringing the word over your life. Am I making sense? You better look around and see who's up in there. If everybody's looking the same, you better run from that place. Come on, am I making the sense? Am I making sense? Hallelujah. You hear what I'm saying? Now listen, the choices you make, you see this, have eternal and generational ramifications. Don't forget that. It's so important. Because you see, that's what he says. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he says, because I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live. The people you pass on to them, they start to live the life they were put here for. You see that? And they're not burdened by all these different things that are coming against us and coming trying to put pressure on us. They stay in the fight. Making sense? All right, I'm excited. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, think about that. So what this is saying, it's talking about being children in the faith. You know, to being unskilled in the word of righteousness. We got to get out of that stage. You know, there's a lot of people there that you can be 60 years old and be a babe in Christ. You know, our chronologically, our age doesn't matter. It matters your maturity. So here's what we want to do. We don't want to just grow older. We want to grow up. You catch that? We don't want to just grow older. We want to grow up. You grow up spiritually when you begin to grow and mature in the things of God, His Word. Now, are you growing up? Now look what it says. Exercise senses is your emotions and your feelings. He wants our feelings and our emotions to be exercised under the auspices and governed by the Word of God, is what he's saying here. Now look, to discern, so we got to be able to discern good and evil. Now here's how it happens. Now give me the next verse, 6:1, I believe it is. Got that, Tim? Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. The word perfection means maturity. Maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So we got to learn the principles of God's wisdom. It says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. In all you're getting, get understanding. So we want to understand God's principles. When we get His principles in place, they work for us in governing our life to go in His direction. Now, so that's what we want to do. We want to be able to grow in maturity. And that's what really the fear of the Lord is. It's maturing in God. And when you have the fear of God, it changes things. Now, so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And you know what? This fits in with the political environment and turbulence that we're seeing in our country today, is what I'm trying to help you see. Now look, he says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in where? Asia. That we were burdened. Remember, when you choose life, you pass on. See, their parents probably didn't do what they did, what they needed. You see that? Now look, we were burdened beyond measure. In other words, they couldn't measure the difficulty they were in. They couldn't measure it. And then it says, above strength. They thought, I don't have the strength to handle this, what I'm going through. I just don't have the strength for this. And then he says, so that we were despaired even of life. In other words, the word despair means without hope. They had given up hope. They had no hope. And Paul was saying, this is where I was. Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He's saying he was despairing of life. Isn't that something? Now that says a lot when Paul's in trouble. You hear me? Now look what he says. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Remember, the word sentence means the verdict was out. In other words, the trial was over. We're not going to make it. He said, in ourselves. In other words, you can't do this in your own strength. You can't do this yourself. In ourselves. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Our trust is in God. You see that? And we can put our trust in Him, and He's going to get accomplished what we need in life. And that's why we got to learn to trust Him. And we got to learn to keep ourselves around people and in places where we're hearing God's word over our lives, and our trust in Him increases, and we develop, and the things that matter the most to us, are going to be taken care of. Think about this. He says, yes, we had the sense of death. Now, get a hold of this. Now, Paul prayed for our discernment. So our discernment is what we have to increase in. Remember, he says they are unskilled in the word of righteousness. But if you mature in the word of God, then your discernment will help you to discern between good and evil. So Paul was praying in Philippians 1:9. Now, you're not going to see that on the screen. You can write that down and look it up later. 1:9, he said, I pray that your love would abound more and more in all knowledge and discernment. In all knowledge and discernment. You listening to me? This is what discernment is. The God-given ability to access the true nature of an individual or an opportunity. Did you catch that? The God-given ability, that's what discernment is. The God-given ability to access the true nature of an individual or an opportunity. And it's to govern yourself accordingly. See, you govern yourself with this discernment. That's why he says, I pray that your love would abound, the agape love would abound more and more in all knowledge and discernment. Now pay attention. The word knowledge there, he's not talking about knowledge. In Corinthians, he said, they are puffed up with knowledge. That's pride. That's pride. So you can have all the knowledge. Here's the thing. And there's people even here, or, you know, wherever, they have all these notebooks full of notes, but they can't execute them. You hearing me? They have a lot of knowledge, but they can't execute it. The knowledge Paul is talking about is knowing God, is having a relationship with God. That's what he's talking about. I pray, yes, that your love would abound more and more in all knowledge, in all discernment. So your knowledge of God, you see that? He told Timothy, he said, that the whole world might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You see that? Knowledge means knowing God. Paul prayed, I pray that in Galatians or Colossians 1:9, he said, I pray that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God's knowledge is imparted in us through his wisdom and spiritual understanding. You hear me? You paying attention? God's knowledge is imparted in us through his wisdom and spiritual understanding. And see, because see, the wisdom of the world, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, for since the wisdom of the world through wisdom did not know God, but it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. People get saved through preaching the gospel, not the wisdom of the world. See, the wisdom of the world is limited. That's not God's wisdom. The wisdom of God is so much greater. You see that? And that's the wisdom God had for you and for me. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For our glory. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. For our glory. What's the word glory? What God originated and intended. In other words, this wisdom, when we tap into it, it helps us to become what God originated and intended our life to be. You see that? And it only comes from God. But you have to be dependent on God to get it. You see, that's why a lot of people who are independent, they have a problem with faith. Because they don't want to depend on something else. They think they can do it. Did you catch me? Did you catch what I just said? You get a lot of people who are independent. They do something well and they figure, well, they compare themselves with other people and they think they don't need it. Look, they don't even have this. They don't have that. I don't need that. And so they don't want to depend on God. That's pride, what they're thinking. When you get to thinking about God and you get dependent on him, He'll show you. You see that? Amen. He'll show you what's important. Amen. And you see, that's what happens. When we get this wisdom and we're in a trial, it helps us get out of the trial. And it helps us to get to a healthier place. You see this? James 1, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, lacking nothing. He wants you to be complete, fulfilled, satisfied in life. You will be satisfied when you're in God's will. You see that? And that's what the trial is. But you see, trials always reveal your commitment. Amen. Trials reveal your commitment. Just like what's going on in our country. It's going to put pressure on the church to be more godly, to be more true and genuine. But it's going to cause us to become more whole and complete, lacking nothing. Listen, and we're not going to run from the trials. I like it. He says, count it all joy. This word count means value. You value the trial. I value this trial, this difficult time I'm in. I value it because it's helping me become better for what matters most to me. You see that? And what matters most to God. But if I run, see, here's what happens. People walk away from the faith when it gets tough. You see that? And that shows their commitment. That shows their commitment. But when it gets tough, that's when you need to stay committed. You see that? And God will show up big time. He's going to see where you're at. And he'll show up in your life. He'll make a believer out of you. Count it all joy. I like, count it all joy. Value that trial. If you're going through something now, value that thing. Hang in there. God is going to show up. Listen to me. Now listen. There's this. I love this commercial on Edward Jones. Finances. It says, rich is knowing what counts in life. Don't you like that? Rich, being rich is knowing what counts in life. And then it shows a grandpa with all of his kids around and laughing and enjoying. That's being rich. You see that? That's really being rich and fulfilled. And I love that. See, you need to count. Count your value, the trial you're going through. Because look, folks, God's going to bring joy. Am I making there? I know, you know, Edward Jones, they're not thinking about it that way. But that's the way it is. You see this? Now, so wisdom comes. When I look at this. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from you and your relationship with God. Knowledge. Paying attention? Proverbs 1:7 says this. The beginning of wisdom is knowledge. Is knowledge. Knowing God. The beginning of wisdom is knowledge. Knowing God. You see that? So if we want God's wisdom, we have to know him. And we can go to him and really receive through the study of his word and being in the church and connecting. We can get that wisdom and we can know God and become everything he created us to be. Now look at this. Now look at this. He says in Proverbs 1. See, Proverbs is, when you look at Proverbs, it's a wisdom book. Job is considered wisdom literature. The book of Job, the book of Ecclesiastes is wisdom literature. Song of Solomon, those are all wisdom literature. So this is wisdom. You see that? And when you have wisdom, you are receiving something. Now think about this. I want to show you something here. Talking about wisdom. Where does it come from? God and knowing him, right? Now look. Almost every problem you face in life is a wisdom problem. I'm not saying all problems exist because of the absence of wisdom. No matter what the cause of the problem is, listen to me, the answer to the problem is going to involve wisdom. You see that? And God's wisdom is given to you when you're dependent on Him. Now listen, it may not be the absence of wisdom that got you in the problem, but it's the presence of wisdom that is going to get you out of the problem. Did you get that? You got it. Did you catch that? So now think about that. Wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is knowledge. So now, he says in Proverbs 1:27, he says, because they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised all of my rebuke. They despised all of my rebuke. They shall eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled to the full with their own fantasies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. Here's what I'm trying to show you. He's talking about whoever listens to me, his wisdom, and his your relationship with God through his word. You see that? You'll be secure without fear of evil. Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? And that's what we need, more fear of God in our lives. Did you catch that? That's huge right there. And that's what he's saying. Security comes from consistency. You see, Jesus is consistent in his ways he does things. So I can count on him. He has a great track record. You see that? When I pick Donita, she's consistent in her track record, right? You see, I'm not insecure with her because she's consistent. You see, some relationships, they're insecure with the person, but they're secure. You can be secure, but you're insecure because of what the person is doing. They're not being consistent. You see, you can't be moody one day and carry on one way and get, you know, just and happy the next day, always moody. You see, there's no consistency there. That breeds insecurity. And relationships are huge today. You need healthy relationships in your life. You need to look for people who are consistent to be close to you. You see that? When they're consistent, then they'll be responsible. You see that? Donita was responsible. And Donita is consistent. Now, I know I'm talking about her, but you know, that's just the way it is. And so I'm not insecure. I know she's going to take care of me. I know, because she takes care of everything. You catching that? So we got to understand that. So you want to make sure you know what's next to you. The people around you. Huh? Because they're going to help you in the will of God in your life.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.